It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And be sure and like our Facebook page. I'm looking at results on some of the stuff that's going on. I think that Facebook is tapping us down a little bit. And you know why, Steve? I think it's because we are shedding light and truth on important issues. And we do that so that you can get your brain around these issues and converse with your family and your friends and your colleagues, because we are in a great battle of ideas. So, Steve, one of my friends, Brad Beck, said that if you're getting a lot of flack, you must be getting close to the target. I think that we're circling the target these days.
Well, you know, you mentioned that Facebook thing now a couple times, and I'm thinking we need to watch that very closely. Whatever monitoring tool that we have to, you know, to test the accuracy of that, it would really be something to catch them in the act.
Well, you know what we've done is we put money behind some of these ads that we've done, some of the op-eds, and it really, I think, it started with Cody Hubley. All of a sudden we started to see less activity, and so I can't tell you exactly, but it's just, you know, we're connecting the dots. So be sure and go in and like our Facebook page, and you might go in and take a look at my op-ed that we put into on the website yesterday regarding these vaccinations. It's a very important op-ed, and be sure and like that as well. That website is kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
If that's real, that's right up there with the major broadcast media. Not so much. Well, you got to watch them both ways. Watch what they do cover, but also watch what they don't cover.
Exactly. That is exactly right, because we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't need force to implement it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, or freedom via force. In the old days, it used to be with a weapon. Right now in Colorado, it's with policy and excessive and what's my other word that I normally use on that? Excessive taxation. That's your
excessive
unfavorite word.
And almost abusive taxation.
We're going to have to add that word in too.
As I know.
Absolutely. We continue to see though, with communism, government owns everything, but with socialism, what happens is government controls everything. So it's basically the same effect, and we continue to see the socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, and healthcare right here in Colorado. So that's why we have to engage in this battle of ideas.
You've probably heard it too. Dana Lesh, she's in the mm-hmm. she has a show on KLZ in the mm-hmm. evening, and one of her promos that's running right now, I just love it. She says, democratic socialism? Oh, don't fall for that one. Since they put the word democratic in front of it, it's still socialism, and it's lipstick on a pig.
Well, and that is why we're doing this fabulous salon series with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice that will be on March 30th at Water's Edge Winery. It's the first of a salon series on important topics that we'll be talking about. And if you'd like to join us, tickets are actually really ramping up, and we're going to have to close them off at some point here, because there's only so much room there. The cost is $20. On top of that, there's a processing fee, and then you just order what you want to eat and drink and pay for that while you're there. And, you know, Helen Raleigh, she's a good friend of mine, but she is also, I think she's going to be famous. And so here for a very reasonable price, you're going to get to hear her talk about three punches to knock down democratic socialism. So I'd highly recommend that you go to my website, kimmunson.com, and sign up for that. I always like to talk about the things that we're grateful for. And Steve, one of the things is, and don't blush, is that I get to work with such an amazing group of people. And that is you and Zach and Patty, Keith and Charlie. And I'm very grateful for you. And each of you listeners, I'm so grateful for you as well. You are valued, you're treasured, and you have a purpose today. Go out and strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Our inspiration or wisdom today, I was talking with Tom Petrie, who's going to be our guest in segments 3 and 4, about what would be a quote of his. And he's an oil executive. He's been in the business. He's done over 250 million, billion with a B, different mergers and acquisitions. And he said, the Chinese curse is alive and well. The Chinese curse, Steve, is that we live in interesting times. So this is what he said. The Chinese curse is alive and well. We live in interesting times, and it's not just the coronavirus. Ha! So, are you ready for the funnies?
We live in fascinating times, but it's not the good kind of fascinating. It's the kind that it just takes your breath away.
Well, I think that's why they call it the Chinese curse, which would mean this is not the first time this has happened. This happens throughout life. Okay, our funnies. Since we're going to be talking about oil and gas. A tourist stopped at a country gas station. While his car was being serviced, he noticed an old-timer basking in the sun with a piece of rope in his hand. So the tourist walked up to the old timer and asked, "What do you have there?" He says, "Well, that's a weather gauge there, sonny." He said, "Well, how can you possibly tell the weather with a piece of rope?" "It's simple," said the old timer. "When it swings back and forth, it's windy. And when it gets wet, it's raining." That was it, Steve.
I was poking the drummer. I'm sorry.
Okay. So once again, be sure and go to my website, kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Take a look at my piece regarding this vaccination bill that's down there at the State House. Whether or not you have an opinion on vaccinations, you need to look at what the ramifications of this particular bill is. It is not really a vaccination bill. It is a data collection on our kids bill, and it's giving an unelected bureaucrat into the future the power to decide what we have to put into our bodies. And I think those two things are something to be really, really concerned about. So let's go ahead and jump in here. Our bill of the day is Senate Bill 20-064. And this is the authority for the Attorney General to challenge Fed-reviewed mergers and antitrust actions. And it is concerning the repeal of a prohibition on the State Attorney General bringing action under state antitrust laws when certain corporate actions have been reviewed by a federal entity. It says the bill summary, current law prohibits the State Attorney General from challenging under state law a business merger or acquisition when the merger or acquisition has been reviewed and not challenged by a federal department, agency, or commission. And the bill repeals this provision. Steve, we talk a lot about how these radical activists are playing long ball, and many times it seems like our side is just playing checkers. And I think that this is probably one of those things as well, because it would give the Colorado Attorney General the authority to challenge these mergers and acquisitions, and is headed to Polis's desk after passing in the Colorado House of Representatives by a vote of 41-23. Attorney General Phil Weiser told Denver Business Journal that once Polis signs the bill into law, and he predicts that Polis will do so, he will be paying close attention to the healthcare industry. I will say healthcare is particularly on our agenda. There are a lot of studies that show more concentration can harm healthcare consumers. The bill will make changes to what Weiser called a loophole in the Colorado Antitrust Act of 1992. That law prevents the Colorado Attorney General from challenging business mergers and acquisitions in the state if they have already been examined by federal regulators. Colorado is the only state with such a law. Weiser applauded the collaboration by lawmakers on the bill, which received bipartisan support. And when they say bipartisan support, there's a couple of maybe two or three legislators, maybe four on the Republican side that they peel off every once in a while and get them on these bills, and then they call it bipartisan support. Now, my friends, again, the radical activists are playing long ball, and the public option on health care is out there now. And I think that these are very related, and ultimately, as government gets involved in these different industries, the supply becomes limited, the quality goes down, and the cost goes up. We are the only state that has done this. And I think that all these things are interrelated. And so that's why Patty put that on the bill of the day today. So, Steve, do you have any comments on that? I know it seems wonky, but this is really, really important.
It does seem wonky to a point, but then I have to take a look at the biggest picture I can, the highest level view. All that has happened to health insurance and the health industry, healthcare industry, in the last 10 years or so, we need to look at everything very, very closely. So
it's all interrelated. And what happens then is we've looked at this legislation on just a case-by-case basis. And again, that's kind of the checkers approach, where what they're doing, which is the long ball approach, is all these things are interrelated. And you know, we really need to be engaging in these issues and talking with our friends and our family. And gosh, when we get to the ballot box at the end of this year, 2018, you need to take a look at what these people are doing. Coloradans continue to vote down these tax increases, this overreach of getting into our pockets and taking more and more money. But yet we're electing these people that are tapping down business. Steve, I don't know if you've noticed, but you know, out in our neighborhood, we're starting to see restaurants close. We've had properties that have been closed, that have been vacant for many, many years. Brio down in Cherry Creek, which has been there for many, many years, is closed. And we're starting to see the effects of this bad policy. And bear in mind that Venezuela was a very prosperous country 40 years ago before Chavez came in. And now people, they don't even have enough toilet paper. Now, we're having a little toilet paper problem, I guess, here in the United States because of the panic on the coronavirus. But it's because of public policy that in Venezuela, people don't have enough food. And public policy, even if you have rich resources like Venezuela, if you had bad public policy, you can start to really affect your economy. And we're starting to see that right here in Colorado, Steve.
The shortages we're seeing are self-inflicted and, again, really reflect just how weird we have become and non-thinking. But somebody put it well last week, says the coronavirus is a respiratory issue. Why toilet paper?
That's, how about Kleenex? Maybe everybody's using toilet paper for Kleenex. Maybe that's what it is.
Who knows?
So, we're going to go to break. March Madness. I love March Madness. I just love it. And, of course, probably partly because I'm a KU fan, and typically KU does pretty well. So I'm excited about that. So basketball fans, Hooters is the place for all your basketball madness. Grab 10 boneless wings and a Big Daddy beer for only $14.99. Bring in a group and grab 15 boneless wings served in any of their world-famous sauces or dry rubs, along with a pitcher of beer for just $20. And what are you waiting for? Get your game on at Hooters. More information, check out my website and go to the sponsors tab, the drop-down menu, and you can click on Hooters. You can actually have Hooters delivered right to your front door with one of the delivery services, or stop by Hooters and pick up dinner, take it home. And again, more information at KimMunson.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with more headlines. And this is the Kim Munson Show.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and go to my website and check out our salon series. That is our event that we'll be doing with Helen Rawley and Dr. Paul Prentice, March 30th at Water's Edge Winery. And Steve, when we during the break, Mike Gallagher was talking about the primaries today. I know that you were doing a little bit of research on that. What's your thoughts about the primaries today?
Well, let's see. Michigan, Washington, Missouri, Mississippi, Idaho, and North Dakota are doing their primaries today. But Mike's question is, will it be the knockout punch from Biden to Bernie? And I think, well, gee, that remains to be seen. But, you know, it's almost like deja vu
All over again.
4 years ago, yes. All over again.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. We'll obviously talk a little bit about that tomorrow morning.
But I don't get it. I don't know that anybody really wins and everybody loses, but I don't know.
Well, you know, what has been so interesting to me is we've had pundits in media call Biden and, you know, these other folks moderates. They are not moderates. They all want to get us to where government controls everything. In Bernie's case, government owns everything, but there's not much difference between the two. Bernie just wants to get us there faster than Biden and everybody else. And what has happened with Bernie is he has pulled the Democrat Party way over to the left. These people are not moderates. And so if, in fact, somebody calls Biden a moderate, be sure to correct them, because that is not the case.
The other side of this coin is it wasn't that long ago where Kamala Harris or Cory Booker were breathing fire against Joe Biden. And now, oh, here's my endorsement. Que sera, sera, and kumbaya, and it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Which, will the real Cory Booker please stand up?
You mean Spartacus?
Spartacus, yes. That one.
Okay, you know, so with this whole coronavirus, you know, what we see is people do care about their lives. They do care about the safety and the health of their lives, right, Steve? I mean, clearly, you know, no toilet paper and then stores. I mean, they care about themselves. They care about their lives. And Patty pulled this piece. This is from Fox News.
I've got to get to the right one. Which one am I doing here? Okay, this is Judicial Watch. The Chicago police and the mayor defend a policy that freed an illegal alien felon that sexually assaulted a toddler. And it says that the police and the elected officials in Chicago have the audacity to vigorously defend their dangerous sanctuary policy after a previously deported illegal immigrant felon that they had released from jail sexually assaulted a three-year-old girl. Now, I have a hard time getting my brain around that. In fact, I don't really want to get my brain around that. The Mexican man, 34 years old, had a lengthy criminal history that includes two felony convictions, yet Chicago police freed him into the community after his latest arrest for theft. It didn't matter to those in charge of serving and protecting the Windy City residents that the violent illegal alien had served time for forced entry burglary and forgery, or that he was recently charged with battery against a woman. Now you have to ask, where's all the feminists on this, Steve? Where are all the feminists on this?
It's getting so selective anymore in terms of how do you want to spend your outrage? And it's just galling. I mean, now we have major cities, New York City, and now Chicago, with their own version of this same scenario.
And Denver has it here as well.
Well, yeah. Well, we're waiting for the big one.
Yeah.
It's been quiet, but I think the big one is coming. And yes, the sanctuary city nonsense has definitely got Denver residents.
Because my friends, in order to go after, you know, your hopes and your dreams, in order to thrive and prosper, you need to be safe. And that's one of the reasons that the founders made sure that in the Constitution, one of the limited things that government is supposed to do is to take care of national security. Because you cannot go after all these things that you want to do if you're looking over your shoulder and you're concerned about your safety. And this is unconscionable that we are not keeping children safe. Here in Colorado, yesterday we talked about this vaccination bill where they're quote-unquote wanting to keep children safe. But yet here's policies that had let a little three-year-old be sexually assaulted. So we have to look at the big picture.
At drawing those dichotomies, I guess, of policy. You're doing one thing over here, claiming that, you know, it's the safety of
our children.
And then you're doing something over here that is totally diametrically opposed. And which one are we supposed to pay attention to?
Well, I think that you have to really take a look at the big picture. And I think it's important to bring light on that. Another thing that is really interesting is that you probably remember this young representative, Stefanik. I guess recently she just received a very vile message on her car. Did you hear about this at all, Steve?
I read it in Patty's
Okay.
You know, things that she sends us.
Okay, and this is Fox News. The title is Former DNC Chair Dean Implies That GOP Representative Stefanik Deserved This Vile Note. As ye sow, so shall you reap. And Howard Dean reacted to an offensive note left on the car of Representative Elise Stefanik by implying that the New York Republican brought it on herself. Stefanik shared a photo of what she called a vile note, which said, "Rotten hell, fascist pig," on Twitter Saturday, and she lamented that the radical far left cannot see beyond their vicious hate. Dean retweeted it hours later with his own, "I don't condone this, but as ye sow, so shall you reap," said Dean, the former governor of Vermont. "There is no excuse for the note writer or for you. You are a shame to your district and to a Democratic United States." Now, she was the young GOP congresswoman who really stood up during the, I think it was during the, and now I can't remember which particular issue it was. There's been so many of them. But can you see what is happening here, Steve? Is in one kind of, he says, "Oh, I do not condone this," but then he immediately pivots to put the blame on her. And we see this all of the time. And he does, he's fomenting here is this hate that we are seeing, and yet they actually want to blame her for standing up for principles, and they're actually protecting whoever this was that put this on her car. Your comment?
Well, anybody but Howard Dean. His track record really speaks for itself. I'm surprised he kind of resurrected himself to make a comment like this. But I mean, I guess it's just like all the goofball entertainers are out there who's careers are not really elegant or in terms of effervescent as they'd like them to be. So here, let me trash Trump, and I got people looking at me again. So, you know, is this another Howard Dean pursuing that same level of?
And these are the people that always say that, you know, they imply that they're tolerant and they care and that the other side is hateful. And then yet he is, in a roundabout way, realize he is protecting this person. But I want to go over to Jason McBride. You know, yesterday there was a significant drop in the stock market, 2,000 points. And welcome, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. It was quite a day yesterday, huh?
Mama said there'd be days like this, and she was right.
She was totally, totally right. You know, during these times, Jason, I think that there is great opportunity. But I was thinking about this morning. It is so important. What was it? What, just 2 weeks ago, when the market was so high, you said, you know, maybe at this point in time, you might want to take a look at maybe taking some of that and putting it into something that would be less volatile. Just 2 weeks ago, did you have a crystal ball or what?
No crystal ball, and that was nothing but luck. But, it's just common sense. When the market has gone up a whole lot, and you've probably got some nice gains, it just seems to me it doesn't hurt to consider putting some of it in some safe, especially if you had everything invested into the market. I think it's just common sense, but stuff happens.
Stuff does happen. And what's the futures look like this morning?
Well, so far it looks like right now the futures are up about 800 on the Dow. We'll see. Again, it's all kind of nothing holds until the last 20 or 30 minutes of the day. So if we get part of it back today, that would be great, Kim. You know, fear and greed are both powerful emotions, but normally fear is a bit stronger. So I don't know that we get back 2,000 in one day. At this point, we just want to look for one update to start some kind of a rally and then see if we can get a follow-through somewhere in the fourth to seventh day.
Well, Jason, I think many of the underlying fundamentals of really good companies, they haven't changed that much right now. And I find that at these times where you have such a knot in your stomach, it could be times of great opportunity. And in order to... I when you look at this, and I'm not going to ask you how long have you been in the business, Jason McBride?
Oh, my goodness. 32 years this summer.
Okay. So you have seen, you've seen it all, really. And when you're sitting down and thinking about your nest egg, you want to talk to people that have experience. And actually, if you go and look at all my sponsors, I highly recommend all of them. Presidential Wealth Management is one of my valued sponsors. And Jason, I would so highly recommend right now that people reach out to you and do a discovery session, because I think there's great opportunity. People need to assess their risk tolerance. As you said the other day, people may think their risk tolerance is A, and then you get into a situation like this and you realize it's B. And sitting down with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, I think it does, Kim, and you're right. If you've got a fairly comprehensive plan, you've looked at it, it's on paper, you realize that these type of things do happen, you still might change your mind if you haven't been through something like this before, but it helps to have some comfort. And I would say again, Kim, one thing that may help is try to look at your overall picture. If you've got part of your money invested in the market, but you've got part of it in bonds and maybe part of it is in other non-market related investments that haven't gone down at all, if you look at the whole picture, maybe your whole portfolio hasn't gone down much at all, but we tend to want to focus kind of on where it's exciting right now, and that can cause a lot of emotional distress. Again, if you're 100% invested in the stock market right now, it's probably pretty painful, and you want to evaluate how that feels and what do you want to do next.
Absolutely. And during these times, though, Jason, there is great opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to date myself now. Now, you know, I was in the investment business many, many years ago. I was a vice president at Boettcher & Company. And I remember that an analyst said to me, Kim, I think that there is great opportunity in the market. And at that time, the Dow was at 3,000. And so I started to do workshops on the Dow 3000, and I tell you what, of course, interest rates were high. It was difficult to get people to believe that there was opportunity, and that was there was tremendous opportunity there. So sitting down with somebody that's been in the business for a long time makes a lot of sense to me, Jason McBride.
Well, I appreciate that, Kim, and sometimes it's hard to, you know, to buy when things are very scary. And it's hard to sell when everything seems like it's going really, really great. So there's no indication that yesterday was the bottom for sure. But if you are wanting to, as Kim says, say, hey, there's some opportunity here. Maybe you want to try to buy cheap. One thing you could do is just don't put your whole dry powder in at once.
Right.
I mean, you buy a little bit. Fully expect that you might be wrong, and then split it up where maybe you've got three different pieces you can move in over this time. Now, I'll say one more thing, Kim. A lot of times people see a drop like this, and one of the first questions we'll get is, should I stop contributing to my 401k? And I would say the answer is no. If you're scared that there's more downside, remember, when you put the money in your 401k, number one, you don't have to invest it into the market right away. You can put it in the money market fund, let it build up there, and enter the markets as you see fit. But when prices are lower and more advantageous, kind of common sense would say not only should you not stop contributing, but this might be a time to actually up your contributions and try to buy a little bit more at cheaper prices.
Well, it makes sense, that's for sure. So Jason McBride, people can reach you at 303-694-1600. After 7:30, Natalie will be at the switchboards there at Presidential Wealth Management, or you can go to our landing page. That's airpresidential.com, airpresidential.com. Jason, I know, fasten our seatbelts, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right, Kim. Have a great show.
Thank you so much. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, I am thrilled to talk with Tom Petrie. He is the chairman of Petrie Partners. He's done over $250 billion of oil and gas mergers. And it's just so timely. We actually had booked him before all of this craziness started to happen with Saudi Arabia and Russia. You will not want to miss this conversation. We will be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out the website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And this show is brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services. As most of you, I think you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I buy my airtime for both this show and my America's Veteran Story show. And so each of these partners is really, really valued. And so thank you to Liberty Oilfield Services. Health and hydrocarbons. Hydrocarbons have actually brought more people out of poverty and has improved the quality of life for people across the globe. So affordable, reliable, and abundant energy is so important. I am so excited to have on the line with me Tom Petrie. He has a book, Following Oil, Four Decades of Cycle Testing Experiences and What They Foretell About U.S. Energy Independence. You can get that at Amazon.com. And we actually scheduled this interview before all of this craziness started to happen in the oil market. And Tom Petrie knows what he's talking about. He is the chairman of Petrie Partners, which is an oil investment energy bank. And they have offices here in Denver and Houston. And he's been involved in over $250 billion, that's with a B, mergers and acquisitions. So Tom Petrie knows what he is talking about. Tom Petrie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. It's good to be here.
Let's jump in here. It is wild out there right now, Tom. What's going on with the oil and gas market?
Well, we've got a lot of geopolitics mixed in with the usual challenges in domestic energy in the context of the shale revolution. And we've been riding the benefits of the shale revolution really for the last half decade. It's really become manifest. But the loss of market share in the world by the likes of Saudi Arabia and Russia precipitate some of the things that we ran into over the weekend and came to a head yesterday. It's not the first time, but it's one of the most intense periods of challenge where those exporters, now joined by the U.S. as one of the three top producers and exporters in the world, it comes to a head every now and then, and that's what we're seeing this time around.
Well, in your book, Following Oil, and the Four Decades of Cycle Testing Experiences and What They Foretell About U.S. Energy Independence, as we were preparing for this yesterday, you and I had a phone call, and you said that in your career that you've seen these different cycles and that there have been different price collapses throughout your career.
That's true. We had them in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, usually following a spike to the upside when we triggered various responses, either recessions or other ways that demand for oil was curtailed by high prices. And usually then we have to plumb the bottoms and find on the downside how price collapses re-stimulate demand and really reaffirm the importance of energy for the health and economic security, not just of the U.S., but for other free economies in the world.
So what happened over the weekend?
Basically, we need to go back about 5 years to see the kind of relationship that Saudi Arabia and Russia developed, which led to the what's called the Thanksgiving surprise of 2014. And at that time, they agreed that the big bill in shale production coming out of the U.S., where production had gone from 6 million barrels a day in the U.S. to 12 million barrels a day, and a little higher than that even today. And they said, gee, we're losing too much market share. We need to bend that supply curve. And to do that, we need to put oil prices under pressure. So they did. They surprised the market and said they were going to compete on price. And they were successful for about three quarters, for about 9 months. They were able to drive prices down by discounting their own price and pushing it into the market. Out of that came a de facto alliance between the leadership under the Crown Prince in Saudi Arabia and President Putin in Russia. But they got to a point where their alignment of interests began to vary. And so when Saudi Arabia tried to organize production restraints within OPEC and bring Russia along as a non-OPEC member in exercising those restraints, President Putin decided he didn't want to do it this time. And I think he basically came to the conclusion, if I can induce uncertainty into the market by looking like I'll supply more, I can create the decline in North America, and especially in the U.S., that Saudi Arabia is asking Russia to do. And I think he decided I'd rather see it happen that way. This earlier today, Scott Sheffield at Pioneer has said over the next year or two, he could see if prices stay in the kind of range we're in today, that we could be that we could lose 2 to 2.5 million barrels a day of shale production. And I kind of agree with that. I would put it at a slightly different range, maybe 1.5 to a little over 2 million barrels a day. But there's no question, but what at these kind of prices, rig count and rig activity is slowing, and we will get a significant supply correction. And by the way, when that becomes manifest, the price of oil will be moving higher as well.
Okay, so a question. So we're talking about U.S. production, and it's been just amazing that through hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling that the United States has actually become an energy exporter, and so not nearly as dependent on OPEC like I remember many years ago. But so with this price collapse, then, and you're talking about our production going down, does that mean that we would be buying from overseas more? Is that what's going to happen?
Well, but if we lose, let's just work with round numbers, say 2 million barrels a day over the next 2 years. If we lose that, then we will certainly export less than we have been. But by and large, we will still be an exporter. The picture is a little more complicated than we usually hear in the news releases and so on. We are both an importer and an exporter. We spent $85 billion reconfiguring the U.S. refining system in the decade between 2000 and 2010 so that we could run heavier oils coming in from various sources around the world, including the Middle East. And so we do, we're the preferred market for some of that oil. At the same time, we are now, having gone from 6 million barrels a day of domestic production to 12, we have actually saturated our refining capacity for light sweet oil. And we've been exporting in terms of oil barrels, unprocessed oil, if you will, and products made from oil. We've been exporting meaningful amounts, 4+ million barrels a day, growing even more in recent times. So we're not going to go back to the old days, but we will see a somewhat tighter supply-demand picture if the current price prevails and the capital allocation decisions that are likely to flow. And we're going to hear about that from industry leaders in the coming weeks and months. and, you know, an interview that Scott Sheffield did today earlier this morning, he's on the cutting edge of the trends that will happen. Capital allocation decisions are being quite disciplined because raising new money in the public markets today is difficult and some would say impossible. There's a buyer's strike on. So that is going to dictate self-correcting forces kicking in. That's part of why when it plummeted down to $31 yesterday, we got something of a bounce today back to $33, $34 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate. And so I think this is a healthy self-correcting force that in our free market, or relatively free market, is a good thing. Whereas OPEC is trying to orchestrate prices and being pretty challenged by other free markets in the world, the U.S. is relatively free and developing with a longer-term point of view.
So is this going to put pressure, though, on many of the U.S. Companies? Is there going to be risk throughout our industry here?
There is, no question about it. It's a good question because basically with a free market, you're free to make decisions, and if you make them on a sound basis with sound financing, that's fine. To the degree you buy into excess optimism about how high oil prices can go, and we've had in recent years, after the collapse in prices from the Thanksgiving surprise of 2014, we got all the way down to $26.40. By 2018, the self-correcting forces had taken us back up where prices in the high 60s to mid 70s per barrel were prevailing. And that turned out to be excessive. And then in 2019, we saw some backtracing where prices began to slip. So there are companies that may have borrowed too much debt. We've got about $110 billion of debt financing that has to be refinanced between now and the middle of this decade. And that's going to be a formidable task for those who have don't have the cash flow to pay down their debt. So there'll be some corrective forces there. In some cases, it may be prepackaged bankruptcies. In other cases, involuntary bankruptcies. And in other cases, combinations of healthy companies with good balance sheets that help some companies that are over-levered get into a more de-levered mode, especially in the case where they have good quality assets. And there are companies that maybe are carrying more debt than they should, but do have good quality assets where the merger solution will be the case.
Okay, Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners, which is an oil investment and energy bank with offices here in Denver and Houston. Let's go to break. This is our Health and Hydrocarbons show brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services. We're talking about Tom's book, Following Oil. I'd like to ask you a little bit about China and then what this could mean for everyday hardworking people just trying to take care of their kids and take care of their lives. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And really thrilled to be having a conversation with Tom Petrie. He is the chairman of Petrie Partners, which is an oil investment energy and oil and energy investment bank. Let me get the words right on that. He's done over $250 billion in mergers, acquisitions. So he really knows this industry. His book is Following Oil, Four Decades of Cycle Testing Experiences and What They Foretell About U.S. Energy Independence. So things are pretty wild out there in the markets, Tom Petrie. And let's talk a little bit about the coronavirus, China, how all this is affecting energy. What's your thoughts?
There's been a big impact. Probably ground zero for the impact is the virus, is the coronavirus, because we went through all of last year wondering would China and the U.S. be able to overcome the trade wars, the tariff wars, if you will. And we got through it. They got an agreement announced late last year, and the market had a moment where it could breathe a sigh of relief. But it was only a moment, because once we began to realize something had been let loose in the form of the COVID-19, as it's now technically called, the coronavirus, we had a new reason to wonder about the rate of global growth. All through last year, each quarter that came, there was some diminished expectation about global growth. Global demand growth for oil is very much a function of global economic growth. So when the fears developed that global growth was slowing economically, new concerns about supply-demand relationships for oil began to appear. Then there was a very brief relief with the signing of the agreement between China and the U.S. and some tariff reductions that followed. Now what do we have? We've got a bigger question on an ongoing basis about what's happening to global growth, because the supply chain impact from China dealing with its manufacturing as a workshop to the world, if you will, that really affects Chinese demand. And there are a number of people who try to follow this who think that the impact so far of the coronavirus may be as much as a 3 or 4 million barrel a day reduction in global demand growth. That's about a 3 to 4% on 100 million barrel a day consumption. And that's enough to go from a situation where there was a healthy balance to one where there's more oil than is needed in the world, and discounting of prices can occur. That's the backdrop that over the weekend, when the agreement or the cooperation that has been prevalent between Russia and Saudi Arabia for the last 4 or 5 years came apart. It was very public because of the comments that were made by the parties of those two countries, the leaders of those two countries. So that's why the China coronavirus thing is important, and that's why there's been really real headwinds in the public marketplace for oil and gas producers, where there's a fear that we're going to be in a chronic oversupply situation for the next several years. That would have been the case if oil stayed at $50, $60, $70. With oil now below 40 and in the mid-30s, the self-correcting forces I described earlier in our conversation are kicking in a pretty powerful way.
And speaking of China, a couple of things, and you said when we were talking yesterday that the genie is really out of the bottle, but I think it shed light on a couple of things. First of all, you know, there's so much of the world's manufacturing that's in China. You mentioned it's the world's workshop. And, you know, we've lost so much manufacturing in the United States. And, you know, I'm like, why? And then I realized that it's policy. You know, we make labor more and more expensive, and then we scratch our heads and say, why on earth is manufacturing going to China? For example, they are manufacturing a lot of our medicines and vaccines, or they are manufacturing, you know, the electric car batteries or the batteries for our phones. And it's like, maybe it's not the smartest thing that we are so dependent on that, and we need to take a look at our policies here, which is causing that to happen. What's your thoughts on that, Tom Petrie?
I think you're right on. And I think there's going to be a much more permanent impact from that. I will be very, very surprised if we don't see a realignment, a new diversity to the supply chain management by corporations in the Western Hemisphere, not just in the U.S., but across the board. And it's not to say they won't go back to China for some things, but I think they're going to look to have alternative sources of supply and not be as impacted as, for example, Apple tells us that they are at this point in the supply chain management for their products. I really think it took the kind of bloody nose that we're dealing with now for the being so dependent. And you mentioned the pharmaceutical goods. Absolutely. Why would we want 80% of our supply coming from one source so far away and so subject to the kind of black swan event that we're now in the middle of with the coronavirus?
Okay, one other question. We talked a bit about Huawei, which is, a big Chinese company. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, again, that Huawei, our own leaders have raised big questions about whether it's wise to be as dependent on Huawei in as we make a transition to a 5G environment from a national security standpoint and an economic security standpoint. That argument has not carried the day in Europe very much, but I think the coronavirus wake-up call, if you will, may cause a revisit of that, and I hope it does. I'm pretty empathetic to the administration's arguments that Huawei's challenge to the U.S. economic future is one to take seriously.
Okay, so Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners. What about everyday hardworking people? Is there something good right now? You said we're getting a bloody nose and there's a knot in everybody's stomach, but is there something good going on?
Well, there is. Certainly, the recovery in oil prices back to something like, say, $55 to $65 a barrel is going to take some time. In the meantime, there is a dividend. There's a lower cost of gasoline. When you work through the lower energy costs that are likely to prevail in 2020 and a fairly meaningful part of 2021 is probably going to be bigger than any tax cut the U.S. Congress can agree on, especially in these times of polarization that we have. So I think the economic, having a relatively free economy and the benefit of lower energy costs as an input to that is something that everybody will benefit from as they're driving and as they're consuming energy in the lifestyle in here in the U.S. and in North America.
Okay. And one thing that I'm concerned about is what we're seeing here in Colorado, that we are having, I call them PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are using policy to really put pressure on the oil and gas industry. And on the other hand, lifting up, for example, electric cars, they call them zero emission vehicles and low emission vehicles, which I don't think is totally true because there are other things that go into the production of those. But we're seeing policy that is trying to make everyday hardworking people more dependent on an energy source that is somewhat dependent on China. This just doesn't seem to make sense to me, Tom Petrie.
I agree with that. On both the supply side and the demand side, that there's an effort to accelerate transitions, some of which may occur, but trying to accelerate it artificially could be a big mistake. We've gone from a state called the state of Colorado used to produce less than 100,000 barrels a day of oil. In just last year, we were producing just short of 500,000 barrels a day, almost a five-fold increase. The benefit of that to the Colorado economy in terms of paying for our schools, paying for how our government allocates money is really important. Our roads need more attention. We're progressing toward a third-world state of our highways. While they're artificially trying to do this with electric vehicles that don't pay anything toward the maintenance of those highways. As I drive to work and find the potholes today, I find it really an example of a policy shortfall right now in the current leadership. Hopefully some reality will set in on that as we go through this political year.
And voters really need, we have a civic responsibility to pay attention to these issues. Now, Tom Petrie, thank you so much. This is our Health and Hydrocarbons show, and reliable, affordable, and efficient energy really makes our lives better. We have just about a minute. Your great book, Following Oil, Four Decades of Cycle Testing Experiences and What They Foretell About U.S. Energy Independence. You can get that at the University of Oklahoma Press, as well as Amazon. Your final thought, Tom Petrie?
Well, the old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times, is alive and well. And it doesn't involve just COVID-19. We're going to be in some of the most interesting times with challenges to free markets, but the U.S. energy free market response to the challenges of prior decades when it was less free market makes me very optimistic about our future.
And I am as well. I think there's great opportunity. It's a little rocky right now, but I think that there's great opportunity. Tom Petrie, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Thomas Paine. He said, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning.